Thank you for joining me again today. And as we continue to look at 2 Timothy 3:16 as the theme for this week, I'll just read that again. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So I'm trying to look at, do a study on that this week and to see what the Lord would have for us as we look at His Word. And, I was led to that because of my burden that we have a tendency to go to the Bible for comfort and hope only, and take our direction for our life, our lifestyle, and our actions as to what is acceptable and what is not from the culture that we are in. And so I would like for us to consider what the Lord has for us, that He has directions and commandments in His Word for us to walk by. And He desires for us to be holy and righteous before Him. 2 Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So with God's help, that's what we want to do. And today, I'm going to look at an Old Testament example. In 1 Corinthians 10, we have a passage here, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6. Paul is speaking of the children of Israel and their wanderings. And he says, verse 5, but with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So we have this account as an example for us, not necessarily a good example, but a warning, so that we should not do as the examples here, but that we should seek after the Lord in faith and not unbelief. So in Numbers 16 is where I'm going to be looking at, the end of Numbers 15 and chapter 16 is a very difficult passage, the tragic account of the rebellion of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And to speak very plainly, for me personally, that's a very difficult passage. I grew up in a setting where this account was recounted in vivid detail twice a year, followed shortly, you know, within an hour or so, followed shortly by a list of man-made rules, if I may speak plainly, and the implication being that any resistance to man-made rules is same as the rebellion of Korah. So I had in myself a cringing avoidance of this passage of scripture here, of this account of the rebellion of Korah. And as we were going through the book of Numbers as a family, we came across this account, and I just had to stop, and I said, you know, what does this mean? And I just said, I'm just going to know, I'm just going to ponder on this or study this. What does this mean? Because I know that it's written for our benefit and that it's profitable for us. It's written for our benefit, for our good, for our profit. And so what does the Lord have for us? What is the spiritual meaning of this account? And before I even uttered the words, I just thought the words, Lord, what does this have for us? And he instantly gave me the insight that I was looking for and that I believe is spiritual and biblical here. And I'm going to share that today in the last, towards the end of Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 is where the account begins. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread on the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." So several thoughts here is that this commandment, came directly from the Lord. Moses was only the spokesman. And the intent and the purpose of the commandment was that the children of Israel would walk in holiness and remember the commandments of the Lord. That was God's heart for them, is to walk before him in holiness and righteousness. And that has never changed for his children. God's heart is still for us to have a relationship with us, that we would love him, that we would walk with him, seek after righteousness and holiness. That's God's heart for us today. And in chapter 16, we have the account of the rebellion. And so looking at what they said, we have several verses here that have that quote what they said. Numbers 16, verse 3 says, "They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?'" So several thoughts on that verse is that it seems obvious that they had a lot of resentment against Moses and Aaron, and that they were those who wanted to either be in charge, or they could not stand it that someone else was telling them what they can and cannot do. You know, we have, and God has appointed it that we have leaders and elders and so forth to exhort and to admonish us, and that's right and that's good. And we need to submit to that. But here we have a resentment and also quite a bit of self-righteousness, even to the point of blindness, that they claim that the congregation is holy, every one of them. And that stands in stark contrast to the account of the wanderings of the children of Israel, where there is just one incident after another of complaining and murmuring and idolatry and immorality. And here they're saying the congregation is holy. The other thing that the other verses that bring out their feelings is in verse, dropping down to verse 13 and 14, they said, "Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." Meaning they will not come up for a to discuss the issue. So it's quite remarkable that they called Egypt the land of milk and honey, saying that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. And again, the resentment against Moses and Aaron come out clearly here, as they say that you should keep acting like a prince over us. And then I think the real heart of the issue comes out in verse 14. "Over, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards." These men were, they rebelled at this requirement to have these tassels or whatever they were called on their garments. They felt that the congregation is holy, we're good enough, and to have an additional, to have another commandment to follow, that's too much. What they were after was the land flowing with milk and honey, the inheritance of fields and vineyards that God had promised to them as the children, as the descendants of Abraham. This was promised to them. This is what they were looking forward to. And so that's why I go to this account as an illustration of our tendency to claim and to seek after God's comfort, God's promises, without submitting to His commandments, without seeking after holiness and righteousness in our actions and in our daily life, in our daily walk. This is what I feel that this account is illustrating, that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were all about going to the land of milk and honey, having these good things, but any small inconvenience for the sake of holiness, they were not interested, along with resistance and resentment of any authority figure in their life who was the spokesman of God's commandments, of God's will for their life. And so I feel that this is given to us as an example, and as the week goes on, I want to maybe look at some specific examples of what God would have for us, so that we can use, that we can take His word, take the scripture as our guideline in reality, to have it give us reproof and correction, training in righteousness, and not only read it for comfort and hope. And again, I would say, as I said, shared yesterday, there is much hope and comfort in the Bible. We just don't want to read need it for that alone, or else we won't have the balanced diet that the Word is designed to be for us. It's designed to be complete, a complete spiritual diet for us, along with the Spirit of God. And that's what it can be if we read it with the right intention. So with that, I will close and wish you the Lord's blessings as you speak Him and His Word for yourself. God bless you.